He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome. Welcome to the Thursday. It is the May the 9th, 2024 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and it's a mixed open for the market, a split decision. The Dow is up 95. It's at 39,151. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, is down just 6 points to 16,300. I saw a little bit of weakness in the AI stocks this morning. The S&P 500 is up 7 to 5,194. The small caps are up just, no, they're flat right now. Crude oil is up 17 cents to 79.16 as the political battle really is what's taking place in the Middle East right now. Will there be weapons? Will there be no weapons? Will there be an invasion of Rafah? Will there be a hostage deal? A lot of drama in the Middle East right now. Gold is up $2.40 to 2,324. Silver's up 4 cents. No, 40 cents. 2801. Silver's had a pretty good year this year. The 10-year is sitting very quietly at 4.50. That's good. Let's keep it under 5. Let's keep it under 4.7. That's where resistance is. And Bitcoin continues to come under pressure, down 1,061 to 61,272. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show on this May 9th, 2024. And right now, Barry, it's a little bit of a quiet day so far. There's not a lot of big companies that have reported earnings. And as far as I know, what do we have? We have today and tomorrow left. Are there any big economic reports that we've got coming?
I mean, we got we had a bunch of Fed speak this week. The only thing that really was big was this initial jobless claims this morning.
Oh, I missed that.
It's the highest since August of last year.
Where's it at?
Yeah, we rose by 22,000 to 231,000.
You know?
And the analysts, of course, they get it wrong in either direction. The analyst on this one had 212 expected. So, you know, came
is
in.
Is that the first crack then in the jobs market? You know, that's the highest number that I can remember in recent memory.
Yeah, no, see, yeah, since August of August of last year. So it's, we'll see. It's, of course, it's a high, you know, one of those high frequency data points, meaning we'll get another one next Thursday, so we'll take a look at it. But that's elevated from where it was, right? Still the 4 week moving average is 215 grand, and that average hasn't been it's been around that 210 range for a while. So,
well, I am seeing a quiet bond market, so it's thinking, wow, I can't see a rate cut anytime or a rate hike anytime soon.
Well, the funny thing is continuing claims, right, you know, continue to come usually under consensus. I mean, continuing claims are 1.785 versus a 1.79. And so, you know, it's one of these things when if you do have some folks, you know, laid off, it's, you know, in reality, they can, there's somewhere for them to go if they choose to go to that particular job, right?
That's right.
We say, there's a job for everyone. Doesn't mean everyone wants that job, right?
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I mean, if we were to get 3 in a row, maybe, then I'd start to take note of that. This is the first shot across the bow of a chip in the jobs market, which has been so strong for so long. and really has been a big part of the stubborn inflation.
And well, I haven't looked at the whole group of consumer stocks today, but you would think maybe that would impact them potentially from a spending standpoint, right? If you're going to see where something has happened. I mean, the bond market really just didn't act like there was any news. It's just sitting at 5.5 and didn't go. You would think and it would go, rates might go down based on that news.
As I go through my 700-800 charts again here today, I'll get a good feel by about 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on what's reacting to that or not, or if it's something we should be worried about. Bitcoin, I can't help but note, it's down now down $12,000 from its all-time high. That comes after that halving event. So I thought the halving event was supposed to be bullish for Bitcoin, but it seems to be bearish for Bitcoin so far, and we obviously have no exposure whatsoever to Bitcoin.
It's been, I think
and
it's
I
down
have no
maybe.
Intent.
I think it's down maybe five. Yeah, right. I think it's down like five. I think 5 days in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Which is for them, I think it's a pretty long win, losing streak for Bitcoin. I forget how many months it goes back.
Well, $12,000 on 72,000. That's about a 15% drop correction.
Yeah.
Another 5%. It's in a bear market. Well, okay. So Arista Networks was the stock of the day yesterday. It had a very good day. It ended up about 7%. I'll tell you what else took off at the end of the day was Oscar Health. If you look at that chart, it's a big smile pattern, just like the smile on my face when I look at it.
I saw your note from yesterday. I was like,
well, a smile pattern in the market, it's also called a saucer pattern or a cup and a handle, is a pretty powerful chart, and it has a classic smile pattern right now. And on the other hand, Uber was a disappointment yesterday. But I think the growth prospects still look pretty good there for Uber, so I'm not ready to panic yet. But I obviously always reassess everything on a daily basis. The Dow notched its best daily win streak since December. Okay, well, that's all right. The NASDAQ slips. We're kind of without direction right now. The worst stock of the day, once again, Intel, just a terrible, terrible chart. And terrible fundamentals from the company right now. Now, HSBC Global is out this morning with a macro forecast on the market. Well, I don't need them to tell me that the S&P 500 had its worst performance since October of 2023. That's the last time we saw weakness in the market was October of last year. We definitely had a sloppy, weak April. Which has brought about some of those calls to go away in May. I just think the market got way ahead of itself. You had an explosive January and February and March.
Blew out of the gate,
and now it's kind of settling back a little bit. It got too expensive. It got overbought. It got overheated. And that was an anticipation of a rate cut. Hopefully, maybe by May, maybe by June.
Maybe percentages if you want them. It doesn't get, let's just say, it doesn't get over 50% chance of a cut until September 18th. And that's 65%, and then it goes 78% at the next meeting, 90% at the December meeting. So essentially, you've got only a 30% chance of a cut in July, on July 31st.
Well, let's just put it this way, 90% chance before the election on first Tuesday in November. Well before that. So I'm on that October train. Or did you say September? I'm on that September.
Yeah, September 18th is the last meeting before the election. Then of course you've got you've got a rate decision on 11/7, which I think is the day after election day, if I'm not mistaken.
So but, I'm all in on that September 18th. Where can I I'm sure there's somewhere one of these sporting gambling drafting
right.
Somewhere where I can get a bet down on that one.
And that's on. Yeah, you can get your futures contract at the CME, or we can call MGM and see what they've got.
So HSBC, which their big bank out of the UK, they see When it comes to valuations, and this is the issue I have, the forward PE, which is now at 20.5, is at a 4% premium to its last five-year average. And I totally agree with that. I mean, that's a problem that the market has right now. Okay, one of the stocks I missed yesterday, we'll just mention that before we got to go to break, Reddit, which is now a publicly traded company. And I look at Reddit, however, they have yet to turn a profit, okay? They lose a lot of money. Somehow they got to monetize that thing with all of those people that belong to Reddit. But their sales, I'm looking at their last four quarters, up 23%, up 21%, up 25%, up 48%. But they lost $3.54 in the last 90 days, or last, 90 days. And it's not on my watch list yet, but it is one of the more exciting recent IPOs. It came public at 34, it's at 49, but still losing money. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, as I was going through the news here today, I was reminded of the risk to be a drug company and to come up with remedies for different maladies. And sometimes, you know, they go awry, and here come the trial lawyers, right? The class action lawsuits. And I'm reminded here several. Pfizer is going to settle over 10,000 Zantac-related cancer claims. Pfizer has agreed to settle more than 10,000 lawsuits alleging that the company concealed cancer risk related to the discontinued heartburn drug. Well, I'll bet the board and the management at Pfizer's got a little heartburn right now. Barry, from the drug Zantac. So anyways, that's been
that one's had issues for a while.
I mean, yeah, it's been withdrawn from the market for five years.
And then
now.
I've seen it stay on the market for a while too. In certain instances, it's an odd one. Of course, it's that legacy drug cost. I mean, who'd have ever thought that Johnson & Johnson would get sued for baby powder?
Yeah, that's
their product, that and the shampoo that tear shampoo as a kid, right? And then the kid with younger sibling.
So that's one of the risks. I know they complain about how much drug prices are, but the risk and the cost to develop a drug and then all of the liability that's out there. And, of course, that's why these companies wanted to be held harmless if anything should go wrong with that vaccine. They wanted immunity from that, and they got it. But I don't think AstraZeneca got it. I think AstraZeneca may have some issues. Well, and Zantac was also made by Glaxo and Sanofi. Sanofi settled 4,000 cases for $100 million. So you figure that would add up to 250, $250 million for Pfizer, if that's kind of the guideline there. Now here's another one that we've owned Tandem in the past, the diabetes pump that delivers the insulin from the machine. I can't think of the name of the stock right now.
Insulet? So we got Insulet?
We owned Insulet. Okay,
so we
Tandem,
owned both of them.
Though,
yeah, Tandem, right.
Has a major recall about a software glitch found in the Tandem Diabetes insulin pump. classifying the issue as a Class 1 recall, the agency's most serious type of recall. Well, it's one thing to have a little pump going out in your radiator, but, you know, in your body, the defect causes the app to crash and relaunch repeatedly, leading to excessive Bluetooth communication, which in turn drains the pump battery, resulting in an unexpected pump shutdown. So anyways, that's what I say. I mean, the risk involved in any kind of a medical device or drug. Zscaler is under pressure. That's one we used to own and did fairly well with. And then I saw the cybersecurity stocks kind of turn the corner there several months ago and backed out of them after holding them for quite some time. They've got an ongoing investigation into a possible data breach. Zscaler is aware of a Public X. I wish they'd have kept the name of Twitter. Public X posed by a threat actor claiming to have potentially obtained unauthorized information from a cybersecurity company. So anyway, Zscaler is the company involved there. Stock's up a little bit, so it can't be that big of a deal. Now, remember the Sam Bankman freed and the collapsed crypto exchange? It sounds like most customers are going to get refunded plus paid a little bit of interest, which is shocking because, you know, he actually absconded with quite a bit of money. But nearly all customers of collapsed crypto exchange FTX will get repaid in full plus interest, according to a reorganization plan. Well, it's still an ongoing concern, that FTX. They're trying to bring it back. It's estimated they owe some $11.2 billion to their creditors, and it has about $14 billion to $16 billion left to distribute. So, in other words, all of the creditors are going to get paid while Mr. Bankman-Fried sentenced to 25 years in federal prison. So
I have to look at the chart. I have to look at the chart of Bitcoin. You know how well, you know, some crypto has done since, right? He was charged. You know, the biggest thing, you know, there was, he was certainly doing some odd lending. You know, lending on, you know, funds that were lended essentially with some of those setting up some of those different tokens. But, you know, the worst thing that he was doing is really commingling client assets.
Yeah, well.
And didn't mean he didn't have the money. He just didn't. You can't throw everybody's money together.
And he was using client money to make investments in venture capital and whatnot.
Exactly.
And luckily, some of those venture capital firms had pretty good net worth and assets. So as they liquidate what he had bought with customers' money, there's enough money, I guess, to go around. He had made a big investment in an AI startup, Anthropic, and also in a sister trading firm, Alameda. So anyways, then I noticed another one on medical device company that we used to own. You know, sleep apnea, they have the big machines and the masks, and then you've probably seen the commercials for Inspire, which is a little implant that they put on you. It is a medical procedure that does the sleep apnea in a whole different way. I like that stock, but I think the problem is they have a hard time getting Medicare, getting the insurance companies on board with it. That stock got clobbered yesterday as their growth is slowing. And I know a lot of people, too, are reluctant. You know, when you just have a machine next to your bed, hook it up, put the mask on or whatever you do, this is a lot easier way to go about it, but it's not cheap to have it done. So anyways, okay, and then another drug stock that I noticed, a lot of news in the drug stocks. This stock is waking up from the dead. Teva has been a horrible. I remember when Buffett owned a lot of Teva Pharmaceutical. It's an Israeli drug stock, mostly in the generic drug space. But apparently this stock all of a sudden's got new life. I'm going to look into it because the earnings are starting to ramp up. They hit a five-year high, the stock, on a schizophrenia trial. And they beat their earnings estimates yesterday. So a lot of news there in the medical sector, the drug sector today. And we still consider, you know, Lilly, Novo Nordisk with their weight loss drugs to be the superior stocks within that sector until further notice. We'll be right back with a lot of earnings coming in here today.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where maybe we saw the first nick in the jobs market with 230,000 people filing for jobless claim, an initial jobless claim. And, you know, we've been in the low 200s, 208, 210. So anyways, I mean, look, that's one we've been saying that's kind of a key report to be watching every Thursday.
Well, and that's the most current one you'll get to.
Yeah.
You know, between CPI reports or between PCE inflation reports, right? There's a month in between those. There's a month between your non-farm payrolls. You know, so this is weekly data, and there's, you know, the higher frequency of the data, the more issues you can have with it. But
you could also add that to a very weak GDP report about 3 weeks ago, which came in at 1.8% growth. Then we had a very weak jobs number last Friday at only 185,000, 185,000. And now this is another third shoe to drop, I'm not ready to say, wow, the economy is really grinding to a halt. But this is the third report, okay, that now we're at 230 on the unemployment claims. And in the meantime, the Dow's up 173. It goes merrily along, headed back towards 40,000. It's at 39,230. I think the earnings picture is really the most important one still, and the earnings still look fairly good going forward. The earnings have been going up since 2009, other than the COVID year, and that's been the driver of the S&P going from 660 to 5,200 today. And the end of this long bull market will occur when the earnings start to get shaved, start to take a hit, start to get ratcheted downwards. That's not happening yet. The Nasdaq's up 10 right now, and crude oil's up 50 cents, 79.49. Now, the next story, they're going to retool. You know, GM, I got to wonder, they seem to not be backing off from the EVs. You know, Mary Barra, obviously, is pretty tight with the Biden administration, et cetera. So they're going to get rid of, after a 60-year run, General Motors is saying goodbye to the Chevy Malibu. They got rid of the Camaro here recently, and the only muscle car they have left is the Corvette. And instead, they're going to make Chevy Bolts at the plant in Kansas City. You know, Chevy Bolt, you know, it's been, you compare it with the Tesla, I guess it's what they're hoping Tesla will come up with, a cheap electric car. But that Bolt has been a pretty big loser for General Motors so far. But anyways, I mean, I remember when Chevy Malibu was a big NASCAR darling, right? I mean, in the NASCAR circuit.
You always had the Camaro there, which is always funny because they would name a, you know, they would all the cars look the same. They just have a different manufacturer on the front of it. Obviously, the engine is different, but the you look at. I mean, are you going to be able to compete? Is the Bolt going to compete with the Toyota Prius? I mean, the Prius has been on the market and been a successful rollout, right? All electric and or hybrid.
Well, they claim they're going to make hybrids too at the General Motors plant, but it's just not a stock I have any interest in. The car business is a difficult business to begin with. And GM's been saved by the government a few times. And okay, let's go on to Airbnb here. Let's see. You know, Airbnb is a bit of a bellwether. Maybe this is the fourth shoe to drop. Let me see. Last time I looked, Airbnb was under pressure. It's down 6%. Here we are in vacation season. Next quarter will be more important for Airbnb. But that's not that great of a chart on Airbnb. I like the value on it. I have it with 80% upside potential. But it doesn't meet my current relative strength, track record, performance criteria, Airbnb. It's having a tough day. It's down 6.2% right now. They did beat by 18 cents on their earnings and beat by 80 million, but it's always that guidance going forward, right?
Yeah, and there's an article, and I haven't read the whole thing, but I saw it with a headline that, you know, it's like, it, essentially, does the market care about earnings any EPS anymore? Because, you know, you've got a lot of companies that have beat on the EPS line and have, you know, and then have been, kind of revalued downward for
sales.
All the other stuff. Well, and for all the other stuff, right?
Yeah, so all right.
It's just interesting.
That
you know.
Just means it's a nervous market and they're looking for any reason to, back
for
out
down.
A little bit.
Right.
Well, their earnings were up 128% at Airbnb, which is Airbnb one of the disruptors of all time? Absolutely. Along
for
with
sure.
Uber and DoorDash, et cetera. Airbnb, their sales were only up 18%. So their sales growth is kind of leveled off, but there's nothing to sneeze at. They're 18%. These hotel chains would love to have 18%, and their earnings were up 128%, but that was not good enough. And the stock is down. I have owned Airbnb. And then another one that we sold recently, we made a really good gain in HubSpot, which is a very good company. It probably its closest like stock would be Salesforce. HubSpot's kind of a poor man's Salesforce software. Let's see what Hubs is doing today. And that's when, you know, those software stocks started going south about 3 or 4 months ago. That's just a weak chart on Hubs. We sold all. Recently,
and well, when you took when you sold a lot of our software names, about 6 weeks ago, at least now, but that's the, like you said, that's the first place where you had things are overvalued or high PE ratios.
First started to roll over the NASDAQ and the tech sector, and then eventually it spread to the semiconductor sector when you started to see AMD getting chipped away at, and then the final one it finally reached was NVIDIA when it had that big down. Day on a Friday of 10%, and really hasn't recovered since a little bit. It's recovered a little bit, but the chip sector is not what it was back in January, February, and March of this year. So HubSpot is one of the best software stocks out there. $30 billion in market cap, headquartered in Cambridge, Massachusetts. But it's just a so-so earnings report there. Robinhood. All right, let's see how Robinhood is doing. I've always badmouthed the stock because, you know, they go after a very much lower type of clientele than like a Morgan Stanley or whatever. People that are just trading, a few shares here and there online. And I guess, it's a decent model. But
yeah, they make a – but, I mean, the trick is what drove this report was, take a look, folks that buy Bitcoin on, any of the, kind of Bitcoin places, fees are high and
that
their crypto revenue really kind of made the quarter for them.
So anyways, Robinhood is up 3 cents to $17.88. But let's just remind you that Robinhood went public in the watershed year towards the beginning of 2021, when everybody was speculating. It got up to 85. It's been as low as 6. Now it's at 18. So anyways, Robinhood reports and up 3 cents. I know that's a big one, too, of Kathy Woods. Now, here's one of our stuff. We have a winner and a loser today. The winner is App Lovin'. Holy cow, I found this thing in my app, right? I found App Lovin' in the app. And that's basically what they do. They help develop a mobile app ecosystem by helping app developers. I tried to get some info on them from them about, you know, helping me with my app, monetize it and whatnot. It was just so complicated. I just had to say, this is going to take a long time. I would still like to look into all the services they offer. They had a blowout quarter. We own this in our emerging growth portfolio, APP. It's now a $24 billion market cap. Sales up 48%. And earnings up 999%. Now, our loser for the day is Duolingo, which is a very volatile stock. I still like it. It's big in the schools and teaching kids languages, other languages, which I think is very important. I thought they had a pretty good quarter. Their sales up 45%. Their earnings way up. The stock is down 17%. But it's been at or near new all-time highs here for the last several weeks, is D-U-O-L. But it is not doing well for us today, but app it. You got it. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I want to go through a few other stocks of interest that are have reported earnings here, ones that I followed for a long time. Beyond Meat. I remember when Beyond Meat went public and the splash it made. I mean, it was the first halfway decent tasting, you know, non-beef burger, hamburger. Even had like the red blood, you know, in it because of the beet juice or whatever they put in there. And but it has been a horrible investment. Okay, so let's see. What was the all-time high? Believe it or not, Beyond Meat, BYND, which really hit like a storm. I mean, this was supposed to take the butcher shops, you know, a total disruptor. And they tried it at a lot of the fast food restaurants. A few of them still. I think the Burger King still has an Impossible Whopper. But believe it or not, Beyond Meat got up to $239 a share back in 2019. And now it's at $7. So I would just say, you know, it was an idea. It does have a place in the, you know, the marketplace. I see Costco, Walmart has a big Beyond Meat display. And
somebody's made money off of them.
Well, whoever took them public.
Right.
Now, they lost 72 cents here in this quarter. Now, how have shareholders done? Over the last 5 years, a poor shareholders lost 35% per year. Okay. A few more years of that, and it won't be worth anything. Over the last 3 years, the stock has gone down by 59% per year. Over the last 12 months, the stock is down 33%, while the S&P is up 26%. It reminds me, Barry, of we have a barbecue joint called Swig and Swine. Maybe they got three locations. They have one pretty close to me here in Mount Pleasant. Yep. And the sign on the door says, horrifying vegetarians for years, right? Something to that effect.
That's pretty funny.
Because they smoke everything there. They smoke brisket. They smoke pork. They smoke turkey. They smoke chickens. If you can smoke it, they smoke it. I don't see any Beyond Meat being smoked in the back rooms there. So anyways, look, I just like to... Here's how it's done. Okay, now.
It's unbelievable. I mean, talking about, you know, the fact the market cap is only just over 500 million.
Which is amazing. A multi-billion dollar company. Now another one here that was once a high flyer. I remember in the late 90s there was nothing hotter than the golf stocks. And there, of the golf stocks, there were two in particular, Cobra and Callaway. And Callaway is now basically a non-growth company. They did have the new idea with Topgolf. I haven't done that yet. We have one in North Charleston. I've heard people say that it's a lot of fun. I would like to go try it. But it's been a terrible investment over the years, Topgolf. Not what it was back in the late 90s when they had a lot of the top golfers, you know, were Callaway. I'm sure they still have some big golfers as Callaway on the Callaway team and paying them to wear their hats and all that kind of thing. But Topgolf over, you know what, I don't have the record on that. But anyways, Topgolf has been basically mired in the $15 to $20 area for a long time, and they're not exactly growing earnings, or nor are they growing sales. So that's the example of just a lifeless stock right now. Instacart, which recently went public. Instacart was kind of the starter. I mean, I remember they were the first ones that really started this whole craze of delivery, right?
Yeah, I think my sister, you know, literally, I think she told me about them when maybe she had her second baby or something, which was, you know, going to be like early. You know,
Instacart kind of delivered it, right?
Early 2010s or 2015.
That went right over Barry's head. Now he gets it. Okay.
No, that was the UPS guy because Amazon was happy then. That's a joke. But
okay, Instacart, which is now called Maple Bear. You know, so their sales are up 8%. Their earnings are flat. I think they went public probably to give all of the original investors some liquidity, right? It just seems like Instacart got passed up by DoorDash. And isn't Instacart teaming up with all these guys?
Yeah,
now?
Actually, I think yesterday, they announced, Instacart announced a partnership with Uber.
Was it.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last one we'll talk about, and I've been watching this stock, all right? Because this has the makings of a growth stock, Dutch Brothers, which operates 831 drive-through coffee shops. I guess that's what they have over Starbucks. Well, Starbucks has a lot of drive-throughs, don't they, now, I guess?
I really prefer to use the app just so it's going to probably be faster, but they do now. They do still have. Yeah, they do have a lot of a lot of drive-throughs.
Have
out
you
there.
Been to a Dutch Brothers? Do we have any in our?
I have not been to it.
Well,
Dutch
they're
Brothers.
Out of Grants Pass, Oregon, so I doubt that they've reached the Carolinas yet. But they do have 831. They've been. I look for nice growth stocks launching off the runway. I remember when Chipotle was one many years ago. And, of course, we've caught a lot of them recently. And I have been watching Dutch Brothers. Their sales up 39%, earnings up 50%. The stock's up $3 a share. Okay, so that's your excitement for the day. Maybe we'll get some excitement out of the market here today. We're kind of in between, aren't we, between earnings reports and we don't have the jobs numbers coming out tomorrow. We don't have any inflation reports. You know what?
I think we get consumer confidence, maybe. But I mean, it's a stretch.
Nobody. You know, I could use a little quiet in the market. I am so worn out every day by the end of the day with all the stuff going on in the market these days. Okay, well. You know, if nothing else, we've exposed a lot of bad stocks during this earnings season, haven't we? Okay, and if you're sitting there and your guys got you in Beyond Meat and Procter & Gamble and Kimberly-Clark and all these, and you just have to say, you know, look, I'm taking market risk here. I at least want to get some, be rewarded for the risk
right.
I'm taking.
Exactly.
That's the way we look at it, and yes, there's going to be risk. There's risk in good stocks. You have all kinds of risk, but it's a risk-to-reward ratio. Why would you take risk with little chance of reward, I guess, is the way I look at it. That just makes no logical sense to me. if you'd like to, you know, have us analyze your portfolio, if you would be interested in having us manage your portfolio, you can set up an appointment and talk with us, 855-611-BEST, or you can just peek at the newsletter and see the kind of stocks we own, which are not the Kimberly Clarks of the world. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.